Right there, and it's the Sabbath. Let me see, the study is up, and let's try that. Okay, let's blow the trumpet. I am in pow talk, right? Well, very good. Thank everybody for being here. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahacha B'Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And, you know, I just thank God we could be here. Sometimes there's going to be lumps and bumps and things to go through, but we shall overcome everything. Anyway, today's the Sabbath, and let's ask God to bless and anoint this this study. Heavenly Father, we come to you first, asking you to cover us in your holy blood. As you say, be perfect. And it's so hard to be perfect down here when everything else is not perfect. But we try our best, Father. Forgive us any sin. Wipe away anything that's incorrect in our lives. Take away anything that's corrupt. Fill us only with the truth, living God, knowing that one day we're going to meet you. And we want to be ready, Father. We want to be blameless, blameless, blameless. No spot, no wrinkle. Heavenly Father, bless this day. May God bless you, heal you, and strengthen you, and encourage you. And may God bind every devil in hell away from us today, because we know Satan is up to something, but we can't detect it at the moment, but we detect a little bit. We pray that you rebuke Satan away from us. Bless this day. Bless everyone on the internet. May God help everyone, and may God always direct you and lead you in your lives, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, we are one of Messiah congregation. And just a little piece of the Israel of God. Here we are on in Holenvolt, Tennessee. Well, we're on Maple Street right at the moment. Sounds nice. There's my phone numbers. There's my email. There's my website. Haven't received it. I did receive a couple of ladies that contacted me, and I gave them the pow talk, but they after that never heard back from them, so I don't know what happened to them. But I do try, as people contact us. Today is December 22nd. Today's the second day of winter. How does it feel to be in winter, California sisters? You're in winter. The second day of winter, which you're not really in winter around here because there's no big mountains of snow and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, there's only 10 days left to this year. Believe it or not, counting today, this year is about gone. Isn't that weird? If we, Lord willing, if we make it to the end of it, it's going to be 2019. Yeah, that's strange. But anyway, I think we'll be here, Lord willing. But today is actually the 14th day of Tevet, the 10th month of God. And that never changes. You know, Deka, as you guys all know, means 10, even though now it's the 12th month, right? But God's calendar always remains the same. And I've been doing this for a little over 17 years. It's been an amazing travel, I should say, after 17 years of doing this, meeting different personalities and people and meeting all kinds of people I never probably would have ever seen or even met. But I'm thank God that whoever's up here until this day, I thank God for you. So I will continue on my teaching ministry. And I really thank God that my little internet server is still running back there. You could read the studies, you could watch them, you could hear them. It's all available just for you. I did this just for you. Otherwise, I don't want you to, I want to use every technology to forward the gospel. Anyway, you could upload them to your iPhones, MP3 players, iPads, whatever you got. We're streaming right now on Real Player. We're in the Pow Talk room. I keep inviting people. So remember, this is the season. Satan's really going to try to get you. Tis the season to be pagan. Da, 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 da. Anyway, it's all around us. I always remember to inform you to be aware of the false image of love. You got to watch out for make-believe love and make-believe feelings and emotions that are going on because they're make-believe. That's why. And you got to watch out for loneliness and depression. Watch out for financial drain. Some people contemplate suicide, which is really bad. And you got to watch out for the artificial festive lights out there and the music, because it's all made up. I was wondering this morning, if you had children and you told them everything is made up and this is all just a make-believe story and the whole world's participating in it, would that be okay? Then I started thinking that would be guilty by association, wasting all your energy and time. So probably wouldn't be, it's still made up. So beware if you do hear a little voice telling you to scoot away from us, get away, go off on your own, or separate yourselves from each other or from the congregation, or beware of that little voice, because this is the time when it sort of is amplified by Satan. You know, some people want to go off and read on their own and study and just serve God all by themselves, but that's the opposite of what the Bible says. He says, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Anyway, just a couple of little, some news which I caught my eye. Witchcraft moves to the mainstream in America as Christianity declines. That's pseudo-Christianity. So witchcraft is happening out there. And then, of course, the National Retail Federation. I always check that because I was in the retail world. Believe it or not, they announced today that expected holiday retail sales in November, December, including, this is excluding, automobiles, gas, and restaurants, this is just regular presents, to increase between 4.3 to 4.8% over the from 2017, and it's going to be from, check this out, $717.45 billion to $720.89 billion. I mean, there's an increase of 3.9% over the past 5 years. No, people, I mean, $720 billion, that's, can't even imagine that. And then, of course, in France, they had a holiday tragedy. Some gunmen, report of a gunman on the loose after opening fire in a French Christmas market. That's what people do. They just go ballistic nowadays. And, you know, I hate to do these kind of studies because most of you people heard these before, but I feel it's always appropriate to explain why we don't observe Christmas, you know. Well, one of the reasons, no lie is of the truth. No lie. And Xmas is out there. Xmas, which is weird. So first, a little some history, breaking news. Did you know this is breaking news? Once upon a time, Christmas was banned in 1659 in the new land known as America. It was banned because it had nothing to do with Messiah. Even the fake Christians knew that. Christmas, nearly all aspects of Christmas observance have their roots in pagan Roman customs and religions. That's really bad. And you can consider the following admission from a large American newspaper, the Buffalo News. November 22nd, 1984, the earliest reference to Christmas being marked on December 25th comes from the 2nd century after Yeshua's birth. It is considered likely the first Christmas celebrations were in reaction of the Roman Saturnalia, a harvest festival that marked the winter solstice, the return of the sun, and honored Saturn, the god of sowing. And that's not sowing with a needle, but sowing your crops. Okay? And that's what it's really all about, believe it or not. Saturnalia was a rowdy time, much opposed by more austere leaders amongst the still minority Christian sect. Christmas developed, one scholar says, as means of replacing worship of the sun with the worship of the Son of God, which is ridiculous. Notice how that's sun to sun.
Yeah.
Anyway, by 529 AD, after Christianity became the official state religion of the Roman Empire, Emperor Justinian made Christmas a civic holiday. The celebration of Christmas reached to its peak, and some would say its worst moments. In the medieval period, when it became a time for conspicuous consumption, and unequaled revelry. Consider these quotes from the Catholic Encyclopedia in 1911 edition under Christmas. Christmas was not among the earliest festivals of the church. The first evidence of the feast is from Egypt. Further pagan customs centering around the January calendar gravitated to Christmas. The Encyclopedia Americana, 1956 edition, adds, Christmas was not observed in the first centuries of the Christian church, since the Christian usage in general was to celebrate the death of a remarkable persons rather than their birth. And that's true. A feast was established in memorial of this event, Messiah's birth, in the 4th century. And in the 5th century, the Western Church ordered the feast to be celebrated on the day of the Mithraic rites of the birth of the sun and at the close of the Saturnalia, as no certain knowledge of the day of Messiah's birth existed. So this, as we all know, there's nothing in the Bible or in the scriptures that say this is Jesus' birthday and all that stuff. I mean, you know, there's not even any. My wife and I were always curious. There's no dates in the Bible. No dates this century or that month or this. Nobody cared about that. Anyway, here's a quote from the Encyclopedia Britannica. There's the page and the volume. During the latter periods of the Roman history, sun worship gained in importance and ultimately led to what has been called a solar monotheism. Nearly all the gods of this period were possessed of solar qualities. Both Messiah and Mithra acquired the traits of solar cities. And what you have to know these, you have to look, if you don't know any of these words, just look them up in the dictionary. But basically, every dictionary so far says basically the same thing. In plain English, it was just the sun god worship, had nothing to do with Messiah. They just sort of, as that, you know, when you put everything in a blender, they just mushed it all together, and then boom, it turned out to be a holiday. The Feast of Sol Invictus, it says, open unconquered sun on December 25th was celebrated with great joy, and eventually this date was taken over by the pseudo-Christians as Christmas, the birth of Messiah. Same thing over and over. Pseudo-Christians were trying to get more converts, so they adapted a pagan holiday to their worship to appease the pagans in 336 AD. And, you know, last week I did a giant long study, so this week's study probably isn't going to be too long. But I thought I should say something about this. Why are we not doing this? Because it looks like everyone's having a good time out there. Everybody's festive and joy and, you know, help this person and do that and do this. And we're over here saying humbug, basically. But we're not really saying that. The Encyclopedia Britannica reports that traditional customs connected with Christmas have developed from several sources, not as a result of the coincidence of the celebration of the birth of Messiah with the pagan agricultural and solar observances at midwinter. So, again, it has nothing to do with the Messiah that we know. And it says, in the Roman world, the Saturnalia, December 17th, was a time of merrymaking, exchanging of gifts. December 25th was also regarded as the birthday of the Iranian mystery god Mithra, the son of righteousness. And that's what that's all about. And if you didn't have enough of encyclopedias that nobody reads anymore, because everybody goes on the internet, the Collier Encyclopedia agrees. After the triumph of Constantine, the Church of Rome assigned December 25th as a date for the celebration of the feast, possibly about 320 or 353 AD. By the end of the 4th century, the whole pseudo-Christian world was celebrating Christmas on that day, with the exception of the Eastern churches, where it was celebrated on January 6th. And I remember some people actually do that, too. They call January 6th Little Christmas. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but in New York, they used to do that. I remember that. You had December 25th, and then January 6th was Little Christmas, which was this ridiculous thing. When you're a kid, you didn't care because you just got more presents. The choice of December 25th was probably influenced by the fact that on the day, the Romans celebrated the Mithraic feast of the sun god, and whatever that says right there, and that the Saturnalia also came at that time. So the Saturnalia and the stupid Mithraic feast are the real meanings. You could look it up on your iPhone, iPad, or the net nowadays. So I had to go from yesteryear, you know, all the things that took place in the past, and bring it up to the current, because nowadays, I don't know if anybody reads an encyclopedia. You just go to encyclopedia.com, right, or something like that. Or, I mean, it's totally different. We're in a different world. Well, let's do a little scripture stuff. That's enough of that Saturnalia and all that junk. Let's talk about the nativity scene. I remember when I brought this up at a lady's house. We were invited to some messianic house. All the nativity sets and scenes are wrong. Did you know that? Whatever they were. Anyway, I was telling somebody about this, and I was saying, look, you know, that's really, that's wrong. There are no three wise men, first of all. Did you guys know that every nativity scene is wrong? The wise men came to the young child in the house, not when Yeshua was a babe lying in the manger. So it's totally different. And we'll read the verses to prove it. That's how you know the truth. Matthew 2, if you'd like to follow me, or just read, or just follow here, or read on your own Bible. It says, now when Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Doesn't say 5, 3, 2. Saying, where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then we have the devil, Herod the king, heard these things. He was troubled at all, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Messiah should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And that's, you got to know, that's the prophet Micah. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So even Herod was trying to search the scriptures, you know. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. It doesn't say 3 or 5 or 2 or 1 right there. He said, well, we know it's 1, right? Wise men, I guess it's more than 1. And he said unto them, and he sent to them to Bethlehem and said, go and search for diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Liar. He's a liar. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Notice it says young child. It doesn't say babe in a manger, right? Then they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy, great exceeding joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with his mother. That was the wise men with the young child. Then why do they always have like three wise men going to the cradle? It says, they fell down and worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of Jehovah appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And Joseph arose, and he took the young child, not a baby, and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. Almost sounds like what they did in Genesis. They always go to Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Yehovah, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. That's in Genesis. You have to know how to understand that verse too. Okay? I can explain that one to you later. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. That's how much he wanted to worship the Lord. He went and imagine slaying all the children that are in Hohenwald or Nashville, all the young kids. It's horrible. He mocked the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So all the little children got slaughtered by stupid devil Herod. Of course, which was foretold in Jeremiah, Rhema, Rachel weeping for her children and would not. You know, I have to know that verse too. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying in Ramah, I didn't even know that was there. There was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. So here we have even that taking place. Excuse me? Oh, really? The camera should be perfect. I can double check the camera real quick. Let's double check it real quick. You can't see nothing? Really? Well, something's... Yeah. Let me just check one thing. Well, anyway, I guess we'll have to continue. Whatever it is, it is. It says 180 right there. So, yeah, it's not working. I told you if you don't see a little bit in the screen there. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to continue on. We'll have to do the video again later if it's blurry or something. That's technology, getting technology. Okay. Anyway, so in the book of Jeremiah, it talks all about that prophecy, so you definitely should know that, okay? But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of Yehovah appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And he said, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And Joseph arose and took the young child and his mother, and they came into the land of Israel, excuse me. But when he heard that Archelaus did, now Archelaus is reigning in Judea, and the rumor of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in the dream, saying, returned aside unto the parts of Galilee. That's where he went. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He should be called a Nazarene. So every movement they made, what knowingly or unknowingly, fulfilled a prophecy. I mean, and you know, I was thinking about that this morning because about as far as the moving of the Holy Spirit and God and everything like that. You know, you go online and everybody says there's 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, which is not correct. And then I thought to myself, in the last almost 2,000 years, where's the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life since the time of Messiah to today? You know, you wonder, gosh, are we? You hope that everything's going okay, or you know, you wonder what can we do better, or you know, how can we, you know, get it going better? Anyway, shepherds, not wise men, came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. So it wasn't the wise men, okay? There wasn't three wise men that went to the manger, right? How do you prove that? Well, you have to read Luke. Chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that the world should be taxed. That's a nice decree from him. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, but in Jerusalem, of course, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So there's Messiah being born at the tax time. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there came the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So here comes the shepherds, not the wise men. And lo, the angel of Yehovah came unto them, and the glory of Yehovah shone round about them, and they were sore amazed. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah, the Lord. Amen. And this was, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe. You shepherds are going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Not wise men, not three wise men. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angel was gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which Yehovah had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Here comes the shepherds, and they found the babe lying in the manger. Just think, every nativity scene that's sold is wrong. It's ridiculous. And when they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. It doesn't even say there was three shepherds, does it? Can we get anyway? The question I propose: Can we get enjoyment for ourselves and our children by these customs while the whole pretense of Christmas is a lie? I mean, it's hard to get joy when you know the whole thing's fabricated and made up, right? Yeah. You lie to your children. The Bible says, "Can you do evil that good may come?" No. So let's examine some lies you tell your children on this made-up holiday. Let's examine some. This to show people that they're lies. People out there say, there's a merry old man with a red and white clothes. If I seen a guy like that, I think he's a circus clown. This man has 8 flying reindeers. I didn't know reindeers could fly. And then he had one joined by Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. That's made up. Check this out. I don't know about him, but his home is located near or on the North Pole. Boy, he must have a big red suit on, goose down. Not only that, check this out. People tell their kids he fills socks or stockings with presents on the night of December 24th. Oh, yeah, well, I forgot the elves. He has elves, too, making all the toys or whatever. Elves make toys? Where are elves at? Well, the thing that's really, I used to always wonder, he enters in your house through a chimney, even if you don't even have one. I don't know. When I was a kid, I actually thought I grabbed his coat one time, but he got away. Check this out. He sees you when you're sleeping. That don't sound good. That sounds scary. He knows when you're awake. Uh-oh. He knows if you've been bad or good. Sounds like almost like every time the bell rings, an angel gets his wings. You ever hear that one? That's ridiculous. I still can't figure out why people decorate and sing to a dead tree. Just think, people cut down a dead tree, it's dead. Some people put aspens on the bottom of it, I don't know why. But I've seen people do that. They cut a dead tree and they stick it in the water and it's dying, and then they sing to it. For some reason, he shows up at many shopping malls at the same time. I never could understand.
I don't understand how kids don't figure that
out. I know. You also tell, I remember the parents tell the children that your letters get to the North Pole somehow, one way or another. So Santa Claus can read what you want, so the elves can make them. What a story that is. And then for somehow, they ended up calling him Father Christmas. Gets around the whole world in just one night. He didn't even have a jet or whatever. How does he fit all the presents on his sleigh for everyone? I never understood that either. Anyway, and you can just go on and on, and it's just a bunch of, it really is a bunch of lies, huh? Yeah. The question is, there are people that don't, their kids growing up and gone, they still do it. I mean, it's made up.
Secret Santa.
Secret Santa?
Adults do that.
Oh, Secret Santa. I never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's free. You don't know who you need. You just give them a gift and they don't know until later they reveal who gave each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So that's usually adults.
Anyway, I was thinking of what Jacqueline said last night. We are commanded to teach our children the truth, not lies. Leviticus tells us that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Jehovah had spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Deuteronomy tells us, only take heed and keep your soul diligently. You have to keep your own soul diligently. You know why? You just might forget the things which your eyes have seen, and you might let them depart from your heart all the days of your life. But you're supposed to teach that your sons and your sons' sons and your daughters' daughters and whoever you got. You have to teach everyone. Otherwise, they'll never know. Especially the day that thou stoodest before Jehovah thy God in Horeb, when Jehovah said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they may live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And that's really important, to teach your children. Really sad. Deuteronomy 6 tells us that thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. It's all the statutes and the commandments. And thou shalt talk of the commandments when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Some people might say that's overkill, but that's what you're supposed to do. And you shall teach your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And Deuteronomy, all the way to the end of the Torah, Deuteronomy 31, says, now therefore write ye this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, this song, that it may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. So, unfortunately, they had to teach the people, children of Israel, many things that were not to their... I guess, to their happiness, but they brought it upon themselves. So you bring everything upon yourself, really. And it's really sad the way, we just don't participate. Psalms tells us, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you the fear of Jehovah. So everything's a teaching process. Teaching process constantly going on. If thy children will keep my covenant and testimonies that I shall teach them, that their children shall also sit upon the throne forevermore. David, that's what God told David. You know? And that's really important. I might have told that to Solomon. But anyway, so teaching should be constantly going on, constantly teaching. It even says the aged women. So if you're an aged woman out there, it says that you be in behavior. You have to be, wait a minute, aged women, you have to be in behavior that becomes holiness. And you can't be a false accuser. And you definitely cannot be given to much wine. Maybe a little bit, not much. And you have to be a teacher of good things, not lies. And then it goes, that you may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, and don't lie, not lie to them. I added that in. Because nowadays, people just think it's lying is just a way of life. You have to teach them to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, I wish people would come here hungry for the word of God instead of hungry for food. Or I wish people would come here, you know, I was just thinking about, we almost had a guest this morning, but that didn't last. Anyway, so we're commanded by God, learn not the way of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Ah, the customs of the people are just vain. We read that last night. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And especially things that are made up, they're really vain. I mean, they're nothingness. Really. And this is talking about an idol, but it lends itself to the Christmas tree, because that's an idol nowadays. People talk to it. It says, somebody cuts down a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold, and fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. So that's like, you know, if you could picture that, going into the forest, cutting down a tree, getting it, and really making sure it stands up straight. Anyway, so you might say, how did the stupid pseudo-Christians get the tree anyway? Well, Germany is credited with starting the Christmas tree tradition as we now know it in the 16th century, when devout false Christians brought decorated trees into their homes. Are we having a blurry scene there? Some built Christmas pyramids of wood and decorated them with evergreens and candles, if wood was scarce. That's what they did. So, in other words, this came from Germany. It's just nothing to do with God. It's just something stupid to do, you know. The Christmas card, of course, in 1843, was invented by a man named John Halcott Hoseley. You can look him up. He lived in Italy. Anyway, he was hired by this other guy. The mistletoe, I'm sure there's a guy named, who knows, the custom of kissing under the mistletoe comes from England. The original custom was that a berry was picked from the sprig of mistletoe before the person could be kissed, and when all the berries had gone, there would be no more kisses.
That has
nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with anything, it's just ridiculous. I'm pretty sure there was another person involved in this too. But anyway, Xmas is also a made-up holiday celebrated by non-Christians, not false Christians. I mean, just think, anybody celebrates Christmas nowadays. Any religion, any person, pagans, atheists, everybody. Has nothing to do with anything. Anyway, you could click on that big thing there. That'll take you to Christmas Unwrapped if you ever want to watch that movie. We have the movie here. We might look at it again if you want to. It is interesting because it knows the different points about this person started this at that date and this person started that at this date. And as time went on, everyone kept embellishing this made-up thing before, you know, it plopped into what we ended up with today. Anyway, over $700 billion. Could you imagine something on a made-up day? Talk about retail. So in closing, I want to make sure everybody understands, we're not against having a good time. Okay, everybody should know that. But when the whole pretense is made up, well, we just, as they say, opt out. We just opt out. That's the new term. So anyway, we opt out of it. Sad to say, in 1933, Coca-Cola introduced the magic of Santa Claus to America. All the churches accept the lie of Xmas and welcome the Christmas lie of Santa Claus with open arms and cheerful smiles, without a single thought to opening a gateway to sin and everlasting sorrows. Just think, you're just a liar with a smile and a gift. And you look so nice. you're dressed so nice and you got the perfume and the candy and you're just the big lion devil. That's the way Satan comes. He never comes with the big red jumpsuit on and the horns because you might recognize him. But he always comes dressed up with all this stuff. I used to say gaiety, but now you can't say that because that used to be festive. Now it has a different meaning. Anyway, I guess, you know, these people, they didn't read this. Revelation. It says, this is John. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. There was no more sea, no more oceans. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And in this place that God's preparing for us, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie. That really caught my mind this morning. It makes a lie. Anything that makes a lie is not going to be there. But only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then Revelation 22, John says, behold, Messiah says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man and woman according to his work, as his work shall be. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And our favorite verse is, not one of our favorite, is blessed are they that do his commandments, that you may have right to the tree of life. Praise the Lord, and that you may enter in through the gates into the city. Isn't that beautiful? You know why? Because without that are dogs, weasel people, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoso loves and makes a lie. That really stood out to me today, those two verses. And those, because usually when I read that, I always think of something else. But those two verses talk about people that make a lie. It's terrible. Like, this whole thing is just made up lies. People taking pictures over there, they don't even realize they're... It's ridiculous. They're lying to the kids. Brother John sums it all up. And I could tell you the only reason I made this website is because Brother John said, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie, whether it's pink, blue, white, purple, orange, no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. That was the title of my study today. So, are we against holiday festive fun? No, just depends. But if it's made up, we are. Because we're just rejoicing for nothing. If you really think about it, all the people that are singing those songs and doing everything they're doing, it's really just for like this, nothing. It's made up. Anyway, this is not a long study today, but it's still an hour, believe it or not. Anyway, I hope the video, I'll double check that. Thank everyone for being here today. May God bless you the rest of the Sabbath. I'm going to stop the video. Whatever it looked like. Okay, and I'm going to stop that, shut that off, and I'll stop the audio.